Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, your 22 minutes of science news and music from Austin, Texas. I'm Michael Brennan. This week, the upcoming Hunter's Moon, a controversial conviction of six scientists in Italy, new music from Danny Malone and Jazz Mills, and in the spirit of Halloween, we'll talk about the Ghoul Star. Here's your scientist soundbite.
The Hunter's Moon is the full moon after the Harvest Moon, so it's taking place in late October, specifically October 29th.
That was skywatching expert Deborah Bird. More with her later. But first, Emily Howard is here to talk news of the week. Welcome, Emily.
Thanks, Mike. Pop music megastar Lady Gaga is being honored with the name of a new genus of ferns found in Central and South America, Mexico, Arizona, and Texas. A genus is a group of closely related species. In this case, 19 species of fern will carry the name Gaga. At one stage of its life, the new genus Gaga has somewhat fluid definitions of gender and bears a striking resemblance to one of Gaga's famous costumes. Members of the new genus also bear a distinct DNA sequence spelling G-A-G-A.
NASA's Cassini spacecraft has tracked the aftermath of a rare massive storm on Saturn. Data reveal record-setting disturbances in the planet's upper atmosphere long after the visible signs of the storm abated, in addition to an indication the storm was more forceful than scientists previously thought. Check out a cool video about this event at earthsky.org.
Scientists around the world are expressing dismay over the ruling on Monday, October 22nd, by an Italian court to convict six scientists and a government official on manslaughter charges for failing to predict a 2009 earthquake. More than 300 people were killed in the earthquake. Meanwhile, seismologists and other earthquake experts around the world agree that earthquakes cannot be predicted.
We'll talk about that with Deborah Bird later in the program. Scientists have calculated that cutting food waste in half could improve global food security by providing enough extra food to feed a billion people. It could also conserve valuable natural resources, including freshwater and cropland. This study will be published in the November 1st issue of the journal Science of the Total Environment. That's Science News of the Week. I'm Michael Brennan.
And I'm Emily Howard.
Thanks, Emily. Song of the Week is by Danny Malone. He'll be releasing a new album November 3rd, and I'm told it was recorded in a 16th century castle in Denmark. This song is called Spider Legs by Danny Malone off his upcoming album, Balloons.
Resolve and the devil in the details.
You're listening to EarthSky 22. You can find us as EarthSky on Facebook, EarthSky Science on Twitter, and at EarthSky.org. Deborah Bird is here to talk about the upcoming Hunter's Moon and a star to look for this Halloween, the Ghoul Star, or Demon Star. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Mike. Are you scared yet?
I'm scared.
Okay, let's talk about the Hunter's Moon first.
Okay.
That's a lot less scary than the Ghoul Star. So the Hunter's Moon is a moon that we all look forward to every year. And basically, the Hunter's Moon is the full moon after the Harvest Moon. So the Harvest Moon is the full moon nearest the autumn equinox. The Harvest Moon this year took place in late September. The Hunter's Moon is the full moon after the Harvest Moon, so it's taking place in late October, specifically October 29th.
Okay, and what can we expect to see?
So the full moons of autumn are characterized by their rising time. So what that means is that there's no long period of darkness between sunset and moonrise for several days in a row. And in the past, the first full moon closest to the equinox helped farmers bringing in the crops. They didn't have to, you know, before the days of electricity, they didn't have to stop working in the fields. They could work by the light of the full moon for several days. And, you know, a month later when all the stubble has been, you know, left behind in the field by the harvesters, the farmers now are out hunting and they can see little animals scooting along in the barren fields by the light of the Hunter's Moon.
So that's how it's got its name.
Yeah, that's how it got its name.
Okay. So is it going to be bigger or brighter or more yellow than we would expect to see of a full moon?
Well, that is the myth, isn't it? And so, you know, people think that it's going to be bigger, brighter, yellower. And in fact, it's not. But one thing it is going to be is sort of visible low on the horizon in twilight for several days in a row. And what that means is that people are more likely to see it because you're out and about, you know, in twilight. And you see the moon hanging low in the sky, the full-looking moon hanging low in the sky for several days in a row around October 29th. And when you see a moon low in the sky, you're looking through more air than when you're seeing that same moon overhead. It's the air that makes that golden color. Then the larger-looking size of the full moon seen near the horizon is due to an illusion, which is called the moon illusion. It's an actual psychological effect rather than a physical effect like, you know, air or something, water or something physical. So the moon isn't actually bigger or brighter or yellower, but if you see it low in the sky on the days around October 29th, you might think it is.
It's all in our heads.
That's right. Well, partly.
Okay.
Mostly, I guess.
So it's almost Halloween. So what does Halloween have to do with astronomy?
Well, people don't know that Halloween is actually an astronomical holiday. And the reason is that it's one of four cross-quarter days. So a cross-quarter day is a day that's more or less midway between an equinox and a solstice. So Halloween is midway between the September equinox and the December solstice. So there are a bunch of different festivals and celebrations that take place around this time. And we in America celebrate with Halloween.
So there's four cross-quarter days per year?
That's right. There's Halloween, which is October 31st, or also November 1st, All Saints Day. Then there's Groundhog Day, which is around February 2nd, May Day around May 1st, and Lammas, which is around August 1st. So those are the four, to us in this culture, best-known holidays around those cross-quarter days.
Okay, and so tell us about this ghoul star.
Yeah, so we always like to talk about the ghoul star around Halloween. And it's a very cool star. It's in the constellation Perseus, the hero, which is ascending in the northeast in the evening hours now. So it's really in a good place to observe. We have a chart of how you can find this star at earthsky.org in case you want to see it. It's really going to be hard for me to explain in words to you how to see it. But we do have a chart. So come to the tonight pages of earthsky.org or else come to earthsky.org and search for ghoul star and you'll find this chart. So the deal with this star is all stars have several names. And this star is sometimes called Beta Persei because it's in the constellation. It's the second brightest star in the constellation Perseus. It's also called by the proper name Algol, which comes from the Arabic for ghoul. So the early astronomers knew there was something weird about this star. So what's weird about it is that every 2 days, 20 hours, and 49 minutes, this star undergoes an eclipse. So there's actually another body moving around it. And, you know, there's more about what this body is and the cool things about the system if you do come to the ghoul star story at earthsky.org. But let's just leave it for now to say that, you know, at that often, about every 2 to 3 days, this star gets dimmer. And so to the early astronomers, that was weird because most of the stars don't do that. I mean, most of the stars shine very, very steadily. Mm-hmm. So they thought there was something very strange about this star. So they gave it a name that had to do with demons or ghouls. And, you know, so then through time, you know, other ancient cultures also picked up on this association that, you know, they just learned from each other. And so, for example, in Greek mythology and Roman mythology, there was this idea of Medusa who had snakes instead of hair. And so this ghoul star came to be associated with the monster with snakes instead of hair. So, and that is, in fact, the monster that Perseus, this is the constellation Perseus we're talking about, that witch that had the snakes instead of hair is who Perseus was supposed to have killed. And that's how he became a hero and got to marry the Princess Andromeda and all kinds of cool mythological stuff.
Wow. So look for the ghoul star this Halloween and check out the Hunter's Moon.
That's right. And come to earthsky.org if you would like a chart of how to find the ghoul star.
Okay, great. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Mike.
This is a new song from Jazz Mills. It's off her upcoming self-titled release. This one's called Little Baby.
Be
You're listening to EarthSky 22. You can find us as EarthSky on Facebook, EarthSky Science on Twitter, and at earthsky.org. Deborah Bird is back to talk about the ruling that took place on October 22nd. Six scientists were convicted of failing to warn the public about a deadly earthquake that took place in Italy just a few years ago. Welcome back, Deborah.
Hey, Mike. So this earthquake happened in 2009. It was in central Italy, and tragically, 300 people were killed during the earthquake. The main shock was not a very strong earthquake, actually. It was a 5.8 magnitude earthquake, which is a lot less strong than, say, for example, the magnitude 9 earthquake that struck in Japan in 2011.
Right. A 5.8, usually that doesn't equate to too much damage, usually.
Well, and, you know, I mean, California has earthquakes that size occasionally. And, you know, one thing about, and Japan, of course, has them frequently. And the difference is that the Japanese build for those earthquakes. They know they're in an earthquake-prone area. So their building construction is specifically designed, you know, to prevent damage during earthquakes. Whereas here we're talking about Italy, where there's a lot of very old architecture, and especially a lot of stone architecture. Mm. This earthquake happened at, you know, early in the morning, local time, when people were still asleep. Mm. So you can see that if you were inside of a stone structure when this earthquake struck, you would have a chance of being injured or even killed because, you know, falling rocks and other debris would hurt you.
And how are these scientists responsible?
Well, the scientists were part of what's called in Italy a National Great Risks Commission. We had a lot of response to this story on our Facebook page and from Italy because we have a big audience there. And people there really felt that the ruling was fair. And apparently part of that reason is that, you know, there's a feeling that government officials are not held responsible for things that happen in that country. So people are angry. In this case, it's a little ironic because earthquakes, you know, scientists everywhere agree that earthquakes cannot be predicted.
Right.
So what happened here was that there were a lot of foreshocks. In fact, from 2008, you know, until the time that this earthquake occurred, there were actually literally thousands of very small earthquakes that occurred in that region. So apparently these scientists told people not to worry. It's just all a natural part of the earth doing its thing. But then what happened was this 5.8 magnitude earthquake struck and 300 people were killed.
So can you explain foreshocks versus aftershocks versus the main shock?
Yeah. It's really easy, you know, in hindsight to tell which are the foreshocks and which are the aftershocks. But in fact, as a series of earthquakes is going on, it's impossible to tell which is which. So say you have a series of small earthquakes occurring, and then you have a slightly larger one. Say you have a magnitude 4 earthquake that occurs. And people say to themselves, well, okay, that was the main shock, and everything before that is the foreshock, and everything after that is the aftershock. Well, then say you have a magnitude 6 earthquake that occurs, and then suddenly that magnitude 4 becomes one of the foreshocks. So what I'm saying is until that series of earthquakes is over and you look back in hindsight, there's really no way to know which ones are the foreshocks and which ones are the aftershocks.
Now, what do you think this means for the relationship between scientists and the general public?
Well, I would think that a lot of the scientists who are involved in studying natural disasters are probably a little unsettled by this. These guys were convicted of manslaughter, and they were given 6 years in prison. So, you know, for other people who study natural disasters around the world, I mean, they don't know. All they can do, I think, is their best. There's no way to predict what nature is going to do in advance, precisely. Scientists would love to know how to predict earthquakes, but they don't know yet how to predict it. And yet, you know, there are 300 people were killed and people were angry and upset about that and looking for someone to put the blame on. So it's a complicated situation as always, and it's a very unfortunate situation.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Mike.
And that's our show. Thank you for listening. This week's show was recorded in EarthSky Studio B in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Special thanks to our musical contributors, Danny Malone, Jazz Mills, Sleep Good, 100 Flowers, and the Black and White Ears. For more on the science or the music you heard, visit earthsky.org. Until next week, be good to one another, and have a happy Halloween. I'm Michael Brennan. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists. Voyage.